So we get to the final hill in our trip. And not only is it the longest hill on the whole trip, but it's right after a stop sign. So there's no way to build up any momentum. So I figure, whatever, I'll put the bike in the lowest possible gear. I'll pedal for all I'm worth. And then I'll get off and be content walking up the hill.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
I sat down to write my newsletter article and my sermon outline on the same day. So while this is not the message that I had originally intended to do for this Sunday, it's the one that I ended up writing. Sometimes that happens. Today I want to talk about gears. So first of all, how many of you can drive a manual transmission? Most of us? For a lot of us in here, they didn't have automatics when we learned how to drive, right? I learned when I was in college, and no pun intended, I was given what you might call a crash course. Now, I didn't actually wreck the truck, but when I was 19, Dad bought me a Chevy S10 that had a manual transmission, and I was very grateful, and I drove that truck for a long time, and it remains my favorite vehicle I ever had. But there were two big problems. The first was that on the day he bought it, I had no idea how to drive a manual transmission. The second was that 2 days later, I had to leave to go back to my college, which was a 920-mile drive to Joplin, Missouri. So two driving lessons later, I was off cross-country. And I have to tell you, that was a rather interesting trip. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that automatic transmissions have somewhat spoiled us. You know, especially around here, there's no big hills or anything really to deal with. You just get in, you put it in drive, and you go. The gears are shifting, but you don't have much to do with it. And there's only two pedals to work. And while automatic transmissions have several gears, you know, most of us will only ever use three of them. Drive, park, and reverse. Now, at the risk of sounding off topic, I want to tell you guys a story. This week, I purchased a bicycle. On my first ride, my brother and I went on a 7.5-mile ride. There were quite a few large hills. And coming up to the first couple of them, the only way that I knew how to deal with hills on a bike was that I built up as much speed as I could, and then I pedaled as hard as I could to see if I could make it to the top. And I will say that I made it to the top of every hill, but I got to tell you, I thought I was going to die before we got where we were going. So we get to the final hill in our trip, and not only is it the longest hill on the whole trip, but it's right after a stop sign. So there's no way to build up any momentum. So I figure, whatever, I'll put the bike in the lowest possible gear, I'll pedal for all I'm worth, and then I'll get off and be content walking up the hill. But you know what? To my surprise, actually, putting the bike in low gear right off the bat, I was not only able to make it up the hill, but I actually felt a whole lot better than I did at the top of the other hills. So here's what I want to say today. As Christians, there are times for running in high gear, and there are times for running in low gear. Now let me say, I don't mean that there are times that we should and shouldn't speak Christ. We should always, always speak Christ. But there are different ways of evangelization, and not all of them are appropriate for every situation. Let me say that you should think of it this way. Imagine if you came into Sunday school and they said, all right, Sunday school today, the first and second grade class is going to be a discourse on apologetics focusing on the overall usefulness and general acceptance of the ontological and teleological arguments for the existence of divinity. And the adult class is going to be learning the words and motions to Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Neither lesson would go over very well, would they? Today I would like to compare two messages that Peter spoke in the book of Acts. The first one is one of the most famous sermons of all time, Peter speaking at Pentecost. He stands in front of the crowd and he says, and this is a small excerpt, but he says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and knowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Now, I will apologize because I know that this is the sermon from which we get the term Pentecostal preaching. And I discovered when I wrote this sermon and in practicing it that Pentecostal preaching, you know, good old-fashioned Holy Spirit fire and brimstone preaching, is something that I'm not capable of doing. I tried. But you have this idea of Peter there, you know, he's animated and he's active and he's angry and he's screaming and he's yelling and he's waving his fist under people's noses and he has a little fire in one hand and a little brimstone in the other and he's just coming at them full force. And I would say without question, Peter is running in high gear. He holds no punches. He even goes into some rather controversial thoughts about David foretelling and foreshadowing Christ. And you know what? Over 3,000 people believed that day. It was effective. Why? Well, who were the people that Peter spoke to that day? Acts 2:5 says that they were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. People who had heard the scriptures and believed and worshiped God and looked forward to the coming of the Messiah and who lived inside of the law and word of God. As Paul says in Ephesians, you are spiritually mature enough now that you need to stop drinking milk and you need to start eating solid food. These people were spiritually mature, and it does them no good to have baby formula levels of teaching. They need meat. They need to hear that painful, awful message of humanity that leads to the gospel. The message that you were evil, and you were foul, and you were guilty. But as we read earlier from Corinthians, not everybody who receives the gospel is ready for meat. A couple chapters down the line in Acts, we come to what is one of the most overlooked messages of Peter, and probably the most profound to us in this room. In Acts 10, Peter goes and he sees Cornelius, the centurion. And I have to say that this is the most profound to us because this is the first time that any one of the apostles goes specifically to convert a Gentile. In fact, Peter, when he returns back to the apostles, he gets in a lot of trouble. They say, "What were you thinking? Worry about the Jews. Let the Gentiles rot." You know what Peter says to them? He says, "I wouldn't have gone if God didn't make me. I didn't want to go hang out with any stupid Gentiles." Pretty much everybody in this room in here today is a Gentile. So thank you, Peter. Now I'm going to read an excerpt from Peter's message to Cornelius. I'm going to read Acts 10, 36 through 43. And I want you to see if you can spot any differences in Peter's message. He says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." That's a whole lot different, isn't it? I mean, come on, Peter, where's the fire? Where's the brimstone? Where is the fear of the righteous wrath of God for a corrupt and sinful generation? Not only that, there's not even one mention of ancient prophecy or scripture. And even beyond that, Peter doesn't once point the finger at Cornelius. There's no yous in this message. It's all theys. They, the Jews, Jesus Christ whom they crucified. You see, the core message that Peter gave is the same, but the approach is completely different, because his audience this time was not someone who had grown up knowing and studying the words of the prophets. And if Cornelius had received the message spoken at Pentecost, I doubt it would have done him a whole lot of good. The low gear message for the uphill battle. And it's a simple message, one that God has prepared for us, the gospel, the good news that God loves you, God cleanses you, and God forgives you. Now, a child eventually needs to move on to solid food. But every child has to start off with milk. And in closing, I would like to say this. Peter, in essence, gave the same message to the Jews at Pentecost and to Cornelius, because in both situations, he spoke the gospel. And just like meat is more substantial and satisfying than milk, so too is the gospel so much more profound when placed side by side with that wretched story that is humanity. You are evil, and God loves you. You are foul, and God cleanses you. And you are guilty, and God forgives you.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.